Trigger warnings for this episode can be found in the description below. Leftovers at the End of the World, Episode 2, Bathing with the Gods.
And that's it for this morning's Dream With Me segment. If you've got a crazy dream, premonition, or bout of spewing madness, write a letter and submit your stories to the station. The forecast for today looks like it's going to be mostly clear skies with a hint of light acid rain. Nothing that warrants any real protection, but as usual, I'll be keeping an eye to the sky.
Whoa.
Why is the water so red?
Looks like it's probably just blood.
Why'd you stop? A knock? Whoa. It looks like a massacre. Do you think there are any survivors?
I don't know. This looks pretty recent, and they definitely look like they've been a meal for something.
But the clothes, they're so old.
Okay, so they had bad vintage taste in fashion. Oh, or do you think this happened a long time ago?
Maybe.
That also doesn't make sense, though.
Yeah. Something in the water could have preserved it.
I guess. I don't like this. At all.
Preaching to the choir. What about your delivery?
I have to complete it. In case someone is crazy enough to live here, and they need whatever that is, I can't just turn around. Here, my spare harpoon gun.
Nice mods. Did you do these yourself?
Yeah. It's heavier, but it makes it easier to handle. Plus, I'm less likely to lose it in case there's a storm or I'm stuck somewhere.
Can I trade you to mod mine?
You know, maybe if you fill the trade you've got first, then we'll see.
Fair enough.
Go. Outside. Watch from behind. Oh, wait. My walkie? Use it if you need to.
Copy that.
Go.
Fine.
Hey, Anok. I think I saw something swim under the boat.
Just keep an eye out and don't get us killed. If it hasn't attacked us by now, it's probably not going to. Hunter, what was that?
I don't see anything.
Great. I can see the port, so whatever it was that... Screw this. Hold on.
What?
Oh! Hey! Slow down, you're gonna... Never mind!
Oh.
Your stop?
Right. My stop.
Why aren't you off my boat yet?
Because there's nobody around.
Fine. You owe me triple if you're staying here. I have a delivery to make.
You're leaving me on my own?
Yes. Give me the harpoon gun.
Can you keep the line open?
Mm-mm. No.
Come on. Just so I know you're alive.
Fine.
If you die, do I get the Baha'i?
No, you do not. Hello? Hello? I'm Anuk, a courier with a package for Baxter.
Well done.
Who are you?
My name is Baxter. I believe that package is mine, and I would appreciate you lowering that weapon of yours.
Oh, right. Here's your delivery.
Is anyone else there?
Just Baxter.
You're asking if I'm all alone?
Oh, I'm not. She is.
I'm not alone, but I am referring to my friends in the deep. But if you mean, are there any others like me? The answer is not anymore.
So, it is just you.
I don't mean to be rude, but it doesn't seem safe to be alone.
These are my friends.
The friend who just got skewered in the head?
A misunderstanding, that's all.
That's a pretty scary misunderstanding.
Sometimes it is.
Look, I'm sorry if I'm overstepping my bounds here, but wouldn't you prefer to live somewhere where you're not by yourself? I mean, you're not exactly young.
I don't want to leave my home behind.
I know that, but don't you miss being around other people? I mean, your town used to be a semi-decent trade hub, and now it's just you.
I won't abandon my home.
Hunter, stop. If Baxter doesn't want to leave, you can't force him to.
No, don't! Did you just mute me? Why aren't you? He'll die out there. What are you two even talking about? You've already condemned him to die. I can't watch this.
One of my absolute favorites. Did you know that this song was composed 12 years before Tombstone went under? It's amazing to think about how this record was able to survive the depth creatures before making the journey all the way to my humble little station. Up next is Ethereal Summer Sunshine, my KY bye.
So, did you leave Baxter to die?
Baxter!
Put your things over there. Are you okay to sit here?
I am. Thank you.
Great.
Can I ask what changed your mind?
Nope.
Wasn't me.
No. You wish. Here, take the gun. Keep watch. I don't want to get stranded here. I'll back out as fast as I can, and as soon as we clear that last buoy, get back inside or hang on to something. If you go over, I can't come back for you.
Got it.
She made it.
I can't believe I'm actually leaving. I've spent my whole life there, and now it's just a blip in the distance.
I'm sorry. That must be really hard for you.
I suppose it was time. It didn't used to be like that, you know?
Oh, no, that's okay. You don't have to tell us.
What was it like?
Believe it or not, the town used to be good. Good people. Good families. Good community. All my neighbors were friendly people. Someone was always smiling at you.
That sounds nice.
When the old gods were around, it was.
It was?
Yes, it was. I know there were a lot of people who didn't think that. But they never saw what we did. What I lived.
You know what the old gods looked like? And you didn't go mad?
Some did. I didn't. I have a good, hearty mind, you see. Nothing fragile. Same with this town. We all grew up with the old gods. Mostly. I was 13 when they just up and abandoned us.
13? But the old gods left 100-something years ago.
Wait, so that makes you...
old enough to have seen it all.
Wow. So you really lived it?
Sure did. They left us to fend for ourselves, like my father did when he left to get milk.
What's milk?
You don't know what milk is? Of course you don't.
What happened after they left?
Well, at first we thought they would come back. Because that's what gods do, right? They test you to see if you're worthy. So we tried for the first couple years to make do. But everything changed. And people don't like change. They were neglecting the life we'd built because they were so used to how things were.
What do you mean?
Well, they focused all their attention and efforts to praying to the old gods, begging them to come back. I remember when they began to get desperate. They would resort to sacrificing their neighbors, and sometimes themselves.
That's crazy.
You know what else is crazy? I watched my neighbor swim naked in the streets, covered in bait, chanting an ancient language. He got eaten, of course.
For what?
He thought he could ascend.
I'm guessing none of that worked?
No. None of that worked. And after a couple years, it became clear to me that the town was just full of stupid people.
If they were so stupid, why didn't you leave?
I was getting to that. You young folk are too impatient.
Sorry. Please, continue.
No one had left the town, and I didn't want to be the first one. They still believed there was hope. And the other cities were struggling just as much as we were, so even if I left, they wouldn't do any good. But there was one man who garnered a following.
Oh, did you know him?
The cult leader.
Yes, and yes. Stokes was a mayor turned reverend. He was a man who believed himself to be the voice of the gods. At first, even I was inclined to believe him, because his words were so soothing, like listening to smooth jazz on the radio. Except it wasn't jazz. And it was a preacher man with an ego. And he promised the old gods would come back, and all we had to do was believe in them. That was when I was 17. About your ages, I think.
I'm not 17.
Oh, well, you know my eyesight isn't too good, and there hasn't been an eye doctor around for a long time. So I've just been making do with what I got. Did you know that if you cut a piece of glass...
Wait, I want to hear more about this, Reverend.
Right, so, 17. There was a new normal now. They said that phrase a lot after the old gods left. I was working a stall at the port, trading for any junk items that might be useful. I can't say I was talented or interested in anything. so being a junker was the best I could do to keep from starving. Never thought I'd say it, but I missed going to school.
What did he learn back then?
Maybe the same stuff?
It was a lack of care in everything else. I had friends and food, and I wasn't struggling to survive. But I didn't need friends.
Wait, what do you mean? Everyone needs friends.
They'd all moved on with their lives and weren't interested in hanging around me. Especially after they realized I wasn't as excited about bringing the old gods back as they were. For me, these were the mother... beings that ruined my life. For obvious reasons, I kept that to myself and did what I did. I think, as you would put it, minding my own business.
That's it? You just minded your own business?
I'm remembering. Don't rush me.
Sorry.
Where was I? Oh, right. One morning, I'd just finished a trade when I heard a commotion coming from the church. I'm not above letting my nosiness get the better of me, so I ventured on over with everyone else. And what I saw shook me so badly that it's been burned into my memory forever.
What was it?
It was Reverend Stokes, but he was changed. His skin was glowing a pale blue, and his skin looked like he was permanently oily. People were demanding to know what happened. And in that way that preachers do when they silence people with their hands, he said something that I thought was crazy.
What did he say?
Hmm?
Reverend Stokes, what did he say?
About? Oh, right. He said that he went to the spot where the old god first appeared to us and pleaded for them to give him a sign. There were murmurs amongst the growing crowd, and I was almost compelled to roll my eyes. I didn't, because that was rude and his skin was glowing. I could at least hear him out and roll my eyes later. Then he dropped this bomb.
I don't get it. What's so funny?
He told us the old gods told him to drink the water. And he did. Then he dropped all his clothes. All of them. And you know what I saw?
His...
gills. There were gills where his ribs should be, and they moved while he breathed. He started crying and told us that he'd been blessed with the powers of the old gods, and that he would help us to ascend to a higher plane of existence. Shit. Those words sealed the deal for me.
It did?
You think that now, but back then, no one had gills. So seeing that, I wasn't a doubter anymore. I found myself falling to my knees like a true follower. Even crazier was that I was even wailing words of praise and worship.
Oh, wow. So you went from skeptic to believer just like that?
How could I not be? Reverend Stokes walked among us with his arms outstretched so we could see his transformation. I remember as he walked by me, I could see a trail of slick he was leaving behind with each step. I was so moved that all sense was knocked out of me. Can't say I'm too proud of what I did next, but... I leaned forward and pressed my tongue to the ground where he walked.
Ew.
I could taste the saltiness of the ocean. And at the time, I acted like I was drinking holy water. Sand and gravel stuck to my tongue, and I remembered sucking on it like it was the only thing I'd ever need to sustain me. I thought I was transcending time and space or something. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one, because it didn't take long for other people to start doing it too. Some were even worse than me because they asked for more.
Did it... do anything for you?
Oh yes, my girl, it did. Life was really different after that. In the few weeks, I noticed that we all started to change. Some got gills or different eyes, but I got something different. My eyes changed. Not physically. I can see you trying to take a peek. I mean in the power sense.
Whoa, really? What kind of powers?
I could see beyond the depths and what lay beneath.
Beyond the depths? You mean you can see underwater?
A regular wordsmith, aren't you? But yes, I could see the depth creatures with their twisting bodies, sharp teeth, and webbed limbs. I wasn't unique about that power. There were others who did. And well, they did not have the same reaction I did.
How else would someone react? Oh wait, I guess seeing depth creatures for the first time would be pretty scary.
That's not the reaction.
It's not?
They took their gift to a whole nother level of devotion, I guess. They cried and flung themselves into the ocean, hoping that the depth creatures would call them family or accept them as one of their own or something. They got eaten, of course.
Of course.
Reverend Stokes also continued to change since he would travel every day to the spot where he drank the waters. The more he drank, the more his body changed. The gills expanded to his neck and his skin continued to secrete a thin film of mucus. He even had his own little groupie that he'd let lick his skin. You had to be really special for that. And I wasn't.
Did you ever get to drink the water?
Like I said, I wasn't special.
So, no?
Let me continue.
Sorry.
He would carry some back in this little flask for people to drink. But only those he believed were worthy and showed their devotion. Every day we'd line up like cattle. I'm guessing you don't know what that is either. Like birds on a branch. I'm ashamed to say, I would grovel at his feet, begging for a sip. I watched as others were chosen, and I was overlooked. A few times I would try to meet his gaze with hopeful eyes and show him that I was serious, but he would never choose me.
How come?
I wish I knew. But let me tell you, desperation does things to a man. I needed a drink of that water and became insanely jealous of everyone who was chosen. I could see how their lives were changing and every day more people joined our brothers and sisters in the depths. And not as meals, but as family.
Oh, whoa.
That was supposed to be my life.
Enoch?
He was robbing me of that and it wasn't fair.
Baxter.
What? Oh no, I'm sorry. I didn't...
You good?
Yes, I am. One moment. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you.
Apology accepted.
Sometimes, when I think about it, I get worked up again. I don't even know why. Anyway, where was I? Population. Soon our town dropped to a little less than 1,000 people. The Reverend was choosing everyone except for me. No matter how devoted I showed myself to be, I was always brushed aside in favor of someone else. And like I said, desperation does things to a man. So I formed a plan to drink from the same waters. One night, I followed Reverend Stokes when he made his nightly journey to that place.
At night?
Back then, it wasn't as dangerous. You could even go out past midnight, and it was still safe. Mostly.
So, what happened?
I don't know. I'm not an expert on depth creature behaviors. Although there was a scientist I knew...
She meant with the Reverend.
Oh. Well, it was hard to see, but I was able to follow because his skin glowed. We sailed into the White Tank Mountains where he stopped in a small clearing. He left his boat, and from there, I had to follow on foot until we reached a small pond. The pond had the same glow as Reverend Stokes, and I watched him peel his skin off. And I mean take it off like a wetsuit, and it didn't even look like it hurt. He did it so naturally, too, like there was a zipper down his chest. And his underflesh. I expected it to be red, but it wasn't. It was a strange, pale pink color, and his veins were black.
Like an amphibian?
Yes. He was truly blessed by the deep ones. I watched him walk straight into the water and relax in it like he was taking the world's best bath. The water looked like it was enjoying itself too, because it started humming and the glow got stronger. Small creatures began to swim around him, forming a strange sort of halo. I needed to get a better look, so I crept forward. I thought I was being stealthy, but I was wrong. He spotted me immediately. Out of all the horrors I've seen in my day, that feeling is still the worst. You know, you can watch countless people die and even participate in causing death. But nothing compares to the feeling of getting in trouble. It was like being called into the principal's office, except it was the Reverend. He was acting so calm. I hate that. I would have rather had him yell at me. But I was still just a stupid teenager, so I fessed up and revealed myself. He told me he was going to grant my heart's greatest desire because I was the only one brave enough to follow him. Damn my ego, because I ate that up. So when he invited me to join him in the waters, I didn't even hesitate. I yanked my clothes off since I didn't know how to peel my skin and dunked my foot in.
Oof, your leg.
It burned. Even though it looks like it, it wasn't hot like it was boiling. It felt like it was eating me alive. I wasn't going to let it burn me, so I jumped backwards. I thought the waters would soothe me and feel like the way my mother's hug felt. Reverend Stokes wasn't even fazed by my reaction. He just got up and reached his arms out to me like he was the one who was going to give me a hug. He told me, and I'll never forget his words. He said, "You will not burn." Can you believe that? You will not burn. I didn't believe him, and I had the leg to prove it. So I just shook my head at him and got angry. I expected him to get angry too, but he didn't. He just acted like I hadn't just burned and just came on over to me and grabbed my hands. Then he threw me into the water, holding my head down while I screamed and tried to get away. I swear to you, the whole time he was yelling at me to accept my gods and that the burning I felt was the unworthiness washing off me. I must have been really unworthy because I blacked out. Did you think I died or something?
I got caught up. What happened next?
Well, when I woke up, I was alone, and the pond was all dried up. The sun was giving me one heck of a tan, and there was a gash in my leg that was still bleeding. Not enough that it was going to kill me, but enough that getting home was going to be awful. But my skin, it stung like no other pain I'd ever felt. I was changed. And Reverend Stokes was nowhere to be seen.
He was gone? And he just left you there? Where did he go?
There you go again with that impatience. I'm getting there.
Sorry.
I don't know how I managed it, but I dragged myself back to my boat and got home. Turns out I wasn't welcome. I was shunned and I had some idea why, but I played dumb until someone told me what happened. Reverend Stokes returned and told everyone that I followed and attacked them. Because of that, I'd apparently pissed off the old gods. He said that he and the others must ascend, and those who haven't drank from the water would be abandoned.
He took everyone? Where?
Into the depths. There were only 300 left.
What happened to everyone else?
Some thought they could force their ascension, and they jumped into the ocean.
Oh. And you've been there ever since?
I have.
Why, though? Why didn't you ever leave?
I felt responsible. If I had just waited my turn, then I wouldn't have robbed the town of their chance to ascend. If I had left, I would have been running from the blame, and that's a guilt I cannot handle.
Do you really believe that?
In the ascension? 50 years ago, maybe I did. But they believed. And who was I to correct them? I was already someone to blame, and in a way, I'm okay with that.
Your initial transformation, when you, lit the... can you still see them?
I can. I think it's how I've been able to live on my own for so long.
What are you going to do when we arrive?
Anak had a nice suggestion for me.
Right, here we are. Like I said before, talk to Elena. She'll be more than happy to help you.
I will. Thank you.
Let me help you. I can carry your things and take you to Elena.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hunter, you still owe me.
For what?
Lugging you along.
All right, fine. I'll leave my trade with Elena or Marisol, plus my favor. Whenever you need me, you got me.
Don't wink, that's weird.
Aw.
Bye, Hunter.
See you later.
Finally, some quiet. Okay. I need to use these. Okay, it's still fine. I guess... I bet it is. Yeah.
Well, you all know how it goes. In the meantime, I'd steer clear of those pesky snails for now. In other exciting news, tomorrow morning we'll bring a whole new audience to our airwaves. Strawberry has finally been able to fix their radio tower. So to all of you in Strawberry, it's wonderful to be part of your lives. Now, before I say my parting words to all of you, I must warn you all about the weather. There is a nasty storm brewing that might last well into tomorrow, so be sure to get in any last trades in for the night, but be smart about it. And if you're ever worried, turn on your radios, and I'll be here to guide you through. The sun is setting, so you all know what that means. Stay inside, stay asleep, and stay safe. You'll hear me again bright and early tomorrow morning. Our last song for the night is Prickly Pear Madness by the Old Town Choir. Buenas noches. Cuídense.
Episode 2 featured Sean Cole as Baxter, Abigail Kim as Hunter, Kennedy Rianne as Anuk, and Manu A. as El Saguaro. This episode was written and produced by Kennedy Rian. All licensing information can be found on the website at leftoversattheendoftheworld.com. Thanks for listening. Marami pong salamat sa inyong pagtangkilik.